truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. Today, I have a very special guest. He was a part of Season 4 of A&E's hit TV series, 60 Days In. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Oliver. Alan, first of all, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, good, man. Thanks for talking to me, man.
Oh, no problem. Hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, well, if you're ready, I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So what was the process like for you getting on the show? Like, how did that come about that you were going to be on the show?
Really, man, it started, I guess the whole background was initially I applied to be on Big Brother, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with that show. And I had made it all the way to like the finals as far as the casting process goes. In the very end, I was kind of eliminated. Obviously, I wasn't on that show. And probably about, 6 months later, the casting director that was in charge of Big Brother was the same person, was the casting director in charge of 60 Days In as well. And so they knew my background as a police officer. They knew what I did. So they reached out to me and said, hey, we think you might be a good fit for the show. Would it be something you're interested in? And so, after talking with them, getting all the information and stuff like that, I just kind of, went forward with it. And then it kind of ended up where it did. So,
Speaking of being a former police officer, did that help you in any way, like having some sort of strategy once you found out you were going to be on the show?
Like as of what to do or what not to do type thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but not a whole lot. I mean, we were pretty recognizable, I guess you'd say, me, Andrew, Nate, Ryan. I mean, there was a bunch of us that are in there that, pretty recognizable as to like who we were. I mean, if you really sat down and analyzed things. So, being a police officer, it definitely kind of helped, what I should say, what I shouldn't say, what questions I ask, what questions I don't ask, stuff like that to kind of keep myself as safe as possible.
After spending some time in the pods, what do you feel is like one of the biggest, common misconceptions with jail?
Probably that it's just, one of the main, misconceptions is probably who the inmates actually are. Probably a lot of people just think automatically when people are in jail, they're just these horrible people. And, it's definitely not the case, man. I mean, I got to know those people on an intimate level as far as, about their life, about how they grew up, about, how they were raised, what their family was like. And a lot of those people, man, they're just people that are just trying to survive. I mean, they got caught up in the wrong thing. A lot of those kids in there, man, they're, 18, 19, 20, they're young kids. And a lot of them just come from broken families and they just make stupid decisions. I mean, there are good people that make stupid decisions. And that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions is that they're not all bad people. They just made a bad choice.
Absolutely. And I like how you brought up the inmates. It kind of leads me to my next question too, because I was wondering how much did, race play a factor into like how well you like all got along in there?
To me, it wasn't a factor. I mean, I deal with, back when I was a police officer, I dealt with multiple races every day. And, it was just, we all encounter, different races. It was just a part of society. So race, I don't think really played a factor at all. As far as how we got along. Now, I did ask an African-American inmate once. I asked him, I said, hey, man, just curious, how come y'all, the African-American people, don't fight us, the white people? Like, I never see any issues between us two as races. I said, what do you think the reason for that is? And his answer to me was, well, we're automatically going to get blamed for it no matter what. So that's why we just stick to ourselves and don't try to, you know, get into a big fight with white people, because the guards will automatically assume that we did it or it's our fault. So that's kind of where that was.
And, you know, what kind of pod politicking went on, you know, with so many changes, with people like constantly being removed and adding of inmates all the time?
As far as like pod boss and stuff is concerned, or?
Yes.
I mean, not a whole lot, man. It's, you know, I didn't really try to get too involved in all that, just because I wanted to keep my head out of as much stuff as I possibly could. So I don't know how one person was elected to be the next guy up. I think really what I noticed was that somebody just stepped up, and, you know, they stepped up, and then you can tell, you know, when it's time for dinner or whatever it is, you know, they're the ones passing out water, and they're the ones passing out, you know, different things. And so you just kind of really realize, okay, well, he's the next guy up, and I guess that's the guy we talked to. So, I mean, there really wasn't any kind of politicking that I saw, because I tried to keep my head out of it.
You know, with being low-key, later on the show, we saw that you were starting to fit in more with the others. Do you feel like you had to change anything about your personality to fit in?
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, you had to kind of, you couldn't look like somebody. You couldn't look, I couldn't be a cop in there. I mean, I had to be an inmate as best as I could. So, I mean, whether or not I was successful at that, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely had to change who I was and just so I could survive, I mean, to the best that I could. And so, you know, whether that be talking shit about police or whatever it might be, you know, I had to do it just to, you know, to survive. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a survival of the fittest in there. When you went in there, did you have any specific goal that you wanted to accomplish? And by the time you left, do you feel like you had accomplished it?
Yeah, I mean, my main goal was to, you know, and I'd said this in the show, that when I was a cop, when I arrested folks, I mean, I took them in to book in, and I dropped them off, and I left. That was it. I didn't see anything else that happened inside of a jail. I didn't see anything that went on prior to the booking area or after the booking area. That was it. That's as far as knowledge I got. So I wanted to actually see what it was like going past that booking process and like living action as an actual inmate and kind of see how that was. And so when I did that and I saw kind of how things were and how inmates lived and, you know, how the guards were and, you know, it just kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things. And, it was one of those things where I'd rather just not be a part of it and, just go on about my life doing other things.
So I definitely have to ask about the infamous dancing scene. did you think at the time that it was going to be, it was going to make the TV show, or did you forget the cameras were on at that moment?
No, I mean, you know, we had, and this sounds so like a bougie jail, but it definitely wasn't. We had, you know, like tablets we could rent for like $20 a month, and it had music and stuff on there. So, you know, whenever you're in lockdown for 20 plus hours and, you know, you have your tablet and you have music, man, after a while, you just kind of, you got to start dancing or whatever it is just to keep your mind straight, man. Like it, you know, it'll mess with you. So, I didn't care if the cameras were going or not, man. I just had to keep my sanity. You know?
Absolutely. Did you ever felt like there was a time during filming where you felt close to leaving?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you saw the show, then you know towards the end I had a breakdown, man, because my roommate, my third, you know, I had a third roommate at the very end, and he was just insane, man. He's crazy, just nuts, and I was losing it, man, because he wasn't right mentally, and I was just getting to the point where I was just breaking down, and I just couldn't handle it, so... you know, luckily It was probably, I don't know, maybe 2 days later after I had that breakdown, man, that they pulled us all out. So it was the right timing for sure.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants to go home.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you ever feel after the show that once you watched it that you weren't portrayed fairly? And if so, how so?
No, I mean, there were definitely some, you know, some TV magic, I guess you'd say, as far as the editing goes. For instance, the whole ordeal about the shank, when we made the shank in the cell, it portrayed me to not want to have any kind of part of that whatsoever. But in all reality, I helped make the shank. and TV didn't show that. It made it seem like I didn't want anything to do with it. So I wouldn't say that was they did anything in a negative perspective. But, you know, do I wish that maybe they would have aired what actually happened in reality at all times? That would have been nice because that's what happened. And that's, you know, what I was trying to portray as me as an inmate. You know, I didn't want to go into it being like, oh, I'm better than you, or come across as some type of goody-goody that doesn't want to do all that. I mean, I actually got down there and was trying to sharpen the shank and trying to make the shank and, you know, be an actual inmate and be there with them to show them that I'm just, you know, I'm just like you guys. I'm no better than you. I'm, you know what I mean? And so to answer your question, that's probably the only thing that I wish maybe would have been a little different.
Speaking of negative perspective, do you feel the whole thing was more of a positive or negative experience, and why?
Well, you know, what they didn't show on TV was the outcome, like what changed. And a lot of good did happen, you know, because while you're in there, what we observed was that, you know, a lot of times when inmates, they would have some type of medical request, they'd have to write it on a piece of paper and give it to the guards. And who knows what happens after that? I mean, you know, who knows if a guard could say, oh, never got that, or I lost it, or whatever the case may be. So a lot of times when an inmate had a medical request for either medicine or maybe need to get checked out because they feel like their health is deteriorating, whatever the case may be, there was, or even filing a complaint. If an inmate had to file a complaint on a guard, it was done on a piece of paper, handed to a guard, and then went from there. So long story short is when the show stopped filming, we told them, say, hey, here's some recommendations we have, what we observed. You know, when we ordered our commissary, it was all on a computer system. And so we asked them if there's, you know, an inmate request form for medical attention, or if they had a complaint against an officer, if they could change that to electronically, so it's documented. And so after we got out, we were informed by the colonel that in fact did happen, that everything stopped going on paper and it all got converted to electronic, so that an inmate had a copy of it and it could show that it also got sent to the proper people, and they have documentation of it as well. So
were you able to create any meaningful relationships with either any of the inmates or contestants from the show?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, me and Nate still talk. You know, I don't have any way to get a hold of Poncho, or I would love to talk to him, man. I mean, he and I talked about some, you know, really personal stuff. And we became close and we became friends. And yeah, I mean, it was a true relationship. So I don't know if he ever saw the show and how he felt about it. But yeah, I mean, there was definitely some connections, like Rabbit, you know, one of the inmates there too, man. I always, you know, I always see something during the day and it'll remind me of him. And it's just, yeah, there was definitely some bonds and relationships made, doing that show for sure.
Was it difficult to adjust back to civilian life once you got out?
I mean, probably for the first couple of days, it was really strange. For the first couple of days, you know, when we got out of the show, I mean, they put us up in this really nice hotel and whatever, and I just didn't want to be there, man. I wanted my little bitty mattress that I had in jail for 2 months. I just couldn't sleep right. It was strange, man. I couldn't sleep for the probably for the first 2 days I was out, just because I was so accustomed to, you know, living the way I was for the past 2 months. So it took a couple days, but after that, it was fine.
There was a lot of controversy from fans of the show. You stepped down as a police officer immediately following. Why was the decision to do this immediately following your stay?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, after I got out, I did reserve for a little bit, which, if people aren't familiar with that, basically you just are a police officer whenever you have time. Like if you have, you know, you're done with your full-time job and you want to be a cop for a little bit, you can do that. I mean, it's not a paid gig. It's, you know, it's just to keep your license active. I did that for a little bit. I definitely didn't want to do it full-time just because, like I said, you know, if I'm going to be a police officer, I need to be 100% committed. I need to be fully into it. I can't do it half-assed just because the nature of the job itself requires your full 100% attention. And after I did the show, I just, you know, I had several doubts in my mind. I had several questions, and I just couldn't commit to it. And so I just decided to reserve for a little bit. And then after that, I just got out of it completely.
What is your opinion on how the show is portrayed now? And do you feel the dynamic has changed since the start of it?
I don't even watch the show, man. I haven't seen a single episode since I got out.
Well, I don't blame you. It's kind of more like reality, it seems like now, in my personal opinion. So it's just kind of seemed like it's gone off more onto like, oh, what's exciting and like, what are they doing that's bad, instead of like, what are we doing to help and make change?
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, originally that's kind of what we. And this is very common from all the friends that I've made doing the show, even the past participants. They all told us that it was going to be, hey, so let's see what we can do to help the situation, and not to what it turned out to be was, let's see what kind of drama we can create. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's too bad because, like, you, from the first season to, you said you didn't watch, it seems like a totally different show, or at least somebody else is writing for it or something.
Yeah, man, I watched obviously my season, but after that I haven't seen a single new episode since, man.
Well, Alan, thank you so much, man. You've been such a great guest. Please, now's the time to let people know what you got going on in your life now, what you're doing, where people can reach you at. Floor is yours.
Yeah, man, nothing has really changed. I mean, I'm just kind of living life like a normal person, man. I mean, I have my daughter that, you know, that I see, and, you know, I'm just trying to make it like everybody else is, man. I'm just, you know, I'm around, man. Just, you know, it's funny. It's, you know, I'll get recognized occasionally at different places that I go to. And, you know, they'll ask the same question, and it's just the same. And I'm just getting out of the whole law enforcement thing. And I mean, I'm sure you watch the news just like anybody else does, man. You know, laws are changing, attitudes towards police is changing. And, you know, I just didn't want to be any a part of that anymore, man. Like, you know, the psychological effect that being a police officer, it's deeper than what people think. Just quick example, like, you know, people that, there's a lot of police haters, I guess you'd say. And what they don't understand, man, is, you know, when I was a cop full time, I mean, I couldn't, there were nights where I would have, you know, nightmares about being shot, or nightmares about not going home. You know, when I'm in a, when I was in a grocery store, I constantly had to look over my shoulder to see if maybe someone I arrested was in the grocery store. When I was filling up my car with gas, I had to always keep my head on a swivel. So it was that's a lot of times the part of being a police officer that, that people don't realize. It's a very mentally draining job, even when you're not there. And so, you know, I'm just back to what I do, prior to being a cop, which is sales, and just kind of living like a normal life, man, and trying to enjoy it as best I can.
You know, at the end of the day, I can respect wanting to feel safe, man. I totally understand that. And where can people get a hold of you at if they, you know, want to talk to you or, you know, comment or anything like that?
No, I mean, you, just like, you know, you reach out to me on Twitter. You know, I've retweeted your status and stuff. So as people have my handle and stuff, and then obviously Facebook, whatever. I mean, I've got all the platforms, so except Instagram, I don't use it. But, other than that, man, I'm out there.
Awesome, man. Thank you again. And as always, I'm your host, James C. Turner Jr. You can find me at JPsAllDay1990 on Twitter and James C. Turner Jr. on IG. Thank you so much, man. Again, I appreciate you.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for reaching out, man. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much and tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.